Well, good morning, everyone. Good morning, good morning. How are you today? Everybody awake? This is good. Hey, while we are expecting the rest of our gals to be coming in, could you guys do me a favor as we always come in? Let's scooch into the middle and make room. Well, yeah, so like the middle of this section, try and leave seats on this side and on this side. So those women who are coming in and getting their kids settled can have a nice seat. Same thing here. Just try and scooch into the middle and leave lots of room. Well, we are so excited to be jumping into just one of my favorite places in the Bible, which is Acts 2 and the birth of the church. And so as we get ready for that, let me just give you a couple of announcements. And, well, actually, just one main announcement. Just want to remind you guys that we are excited to do the lunches for our small groups after our small group time on the 19th. If you have ordered a box lunch, it'll be there ready for you. And so Danae Robinson is going to send another email. We've had lots of women sign up and say, yep, order me a lunch. And that's awesome. But still, there's lots more that have another week to go ahead and do that. So we want to use that time as an opportunity for just hanging around together, getting to know each other. You got to go to training ground and get your kids if they're in training ground. Get them and bring them. You can order a lunch for them too as well. And then you can just spread out in the church and enjoy time together. And so Danae will send you that email again this week with a link there that you can order your lunch. And then it'll be the following week on the 19th. So please take advantage of that. That'll be really, really, really nice. So, all right, I'm going to pray for us this morning and then I'm going to introduce our speaker. Father, I thank you so much that we are free in this country to come together and learn about you and study your word and talk about you and worship you, Father. It is such a privilege, and I just love being able to see the history of what you've done. Thank you that you documented by your very Holy Spirit what you did at the time that Jesus came to earth, was buried and resurrected, and then you sent your very Holy Spirit who is available to all believers today, Lord. It's just magnificent. So help us to just shift gears of the busyness of the morning and reflect on what you're doing in our lives. Help us to recall what you've taught us this week. And God, just help us to be ready to learn what through the speaker today you are bringing forward in the message that you have for us. So we love you. We pray in the name of Jesus. And we just are so thankful for the power of your Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Well, Randy Weidman is going to be our speaker today. And yep, she is just such a gift to our body. And come on in, everybody. And Randy and her husband, Matt, have been married 10 years. And they have two beautiful daughters. And one of her daughters' name is McKinley, which is my last name, so I'm particularly fond of that. And little Mercy is so sweet to bless us with her presence a lot. Randy just has a tremendous testimony in her life of God's grace, and a lot of that, her development and discipleship and leading came through Young Life, which she's also been involved in for 10 years. And she continues to coach leaders in the Young Life organization. So we are just so privileged that she brings that level of discipleship and understanding and experience to us. She serves on our servant team as one of the huddle leaders, which means she provides support and encouragement and helps to serve the needs of any of our small group leaders that are on her team. And she is one of our main teachers also. So Randy, why don't you come on up? And we are just so thankful that you're with us today.
Thank you.
No? Yes, I am. Okay, Meg, you're so sweet to say all that stuff. But really, if I was going to introduce myself, I would say that I'm Randy and that I talk way too much and I don't listen enough. And I'm selfish and super competitive and often really intense. And I love candy and coffee and Diet Coke. And I love garage sales, and I love to vacuum. Love the lines, invite me over, like the Dyson getting it filled up. Oh, I am a total nerd, okay? I really, really wish that the world was just filled with puppies and babies. That would be like my total delight. I still have a huge crush on my husband. He's a stud. And my guilty pleasure is Grey's Anatomy. Okay, so I'm just saying it. I really did not want to admit it, and I just asked for forgiveness. Okay, so really, y'all, I am just this mess that really loves Jesus and knows how much I need him. And so I am humbled to be up here today to get to teach y'all. And the irony of this is that when all the teachers sat down to decide who was going to teach what lesson, everyone was like, okay, does anyone really want to teach a lesson? Anyone not want to teach a lesson? Where are you at? And I was like, I will teach anything except for Pentecost. Sue Bullen, you go for it, girl. And they were like, okay, great. And we put it all up. And then, like, of course, when God wants something to happen, he just makes it happen and he reworks all this stuff. He's like, Randy, you're the girl teaching Pentecost. And so it really, it has been awesome to dig in deep. And I'm so excited to share with y'all what God has shared with me this over these last few weeks of prepping for this. So I titled our lesson today, Pentecost, the day that changed everything. And see, as I was preparing for it, I was looking at my life, and there have been many life-changing days, life-changing moments that have radically affected me, good, great things, and hard, yucky things, things that I chose and things that were chosen for me. See, I want you guys to think about the experiences that have affected you in deep ways, which have shaped the woman you are today. When I really thought about it, my list was long, too long to share in its entirety. But I thought about when I was a little girl and I would hide in the closet when my parents were fighting. And I thought about being a freshman in high school in Littleton, Colorado. And our high school went under lockdown because there was a mass shooting at our sister school, Columbine High School. And I thought about accepting Jesus at Young Life Camp. And I thought about 9/11. I thought about moving to Texas to go to SMU, and I thought about meeting Matt and falling in love and getting married, and I thought about the day that God gave us our beautiful girls, and I thought a lot about the day that I was diagnosed with breast cancer, and I don't talk about that day because I want your pity or your bless your heart. She's been through so much. Y'all, I boast in it. Because I have never known God's goodness and love and power and provision more than when I was sick. See, that day changed my world. We all have days, moments that have deeply affected us, that have changed the trajectory of our lives. I want you to think about your life. What are those life-changing events that have changed your world? Okay, y'all, lean in. Pentecost. It is huge, life-changing, heart-altering, never, ever going to be the same sort of day in history. See, the resurrection, it changed eternity. But Pentecost, the giving of the Holy Spirit, the birth of the church, it changed the world. Because the Holy Spirit in us, he undoubtedly changes our world. And then we become God's vehicle to change the world. Pentecost. Let's dig in. We are going to see today in Acts 2 what this Holy Spirit power does to us. So the Holy Spirit, we're going to see that he revives us, he refines us, he redefines us, and then he makes us part of God's rescue plan. He revives us, refines us, redefines us, and then makes us part of God's rescue plan. That's good. So last week, if you guys were here, Nika taught us about this tumultuous culture of their day, how there was crazy racial tension and division. It was a broken, seamlessly hopeless world. Okay, well, Jesus enters the scene. And he offers hope and purpose, and then he dies. And all those people that had found life in his life are now feeling probably more lost than they ever had before. But then, even when it looks like it's over, it's not over. And Jesus raised from the dead and he's back. And for 40 days past the resurrection, Jesus gloriously appears to 513 people. So 513 different people saw the risen Christ. Man, how awesome is that? But before he ascended into heaven, Jesus told them it was better for him to go and for them to wait for the gift. Well, Nicah sweetly reminded us how hard it is to wait and how deeply God cares about us in our waiting. Well, Pentecost, it means 50 days. Okay, so Jesus ascended on 40 days post the resurrection, and Pentecost is on 50 days. So for 10 days, they waited and prayed. And during that 10 days, 393 people got tired of waiting on God's promises. 393. 513 saw the risen Christ. 393 got tired of waiting on God's promises. Y'all, that's interesting. And honestly, that's convicting. But on the 10th day, on Pentecost, there were 120 patient people whose worlds would be flipped upside down. So let's open up in our Bibles to Acts 2. And we're going to start just in verse 1. You're going to see our first point today is that the Holy Spirit revives us. So Acts 2, verses 1 and 2, it says, "When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting." A violent wind filled the whole house. Wind. It's this picture of invisible power. You can't see it, but you see its effects. Well, I found it so interesting that the Hebrew and Greek words for wind and spirit are the same. Wind and spirit are the same. Well, some of y'all might be acquainted with the story of dry bones in the book of Ezekiel. Maybe. Okay, well, God brings Ezekiel, he is this prophet, into this valley of bones. And hey, he says, "Ezekiel, can these dead bones live?" Well, Ezekiel's like, "Only you know that, God." And then God, being God, he breathes life into those dry bones. And they stand on their feet and become a vast army. And God says, "I will put my spirit," it's the same Hebrew word for wind, "I will put my spirit in you and you will live. I will put my spirit in you and you will live." I love it. I love it that from the beginning of time, God's MO has been to take what is dead and to breathe life into it. From the garden, when God breathed into the nostrils of Adam the breath of life, to the day of Pentecost, when he breathes life into us through the Holy Spirit. The apostles were in a valley of dry bones that day. We are in a valley of dry bones today. There is no doubt about that. We were dead in our sins, and Jesus' death and resurrection paid the price for our eternal life. And then, like a violent wind that affects everything in its path, he gave us the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit breathes life into us. He revives us. The Holy Spirit is the one who gives us the abundant, resurrected, power-free life that God has promised us. Maybe you feel so dry today. Maybe all the waiting and all the trials of this life have left you shriveled up, barely hanging on, just trying to come up for air. Maybe you didn't sleep very much last night because your kids needed you what seemed like every single hour. Or maybe you were up all of last night because you were worried and anxious about something. So today you just feel exhausted. Perhaps it took every last bit of energy you had to throw on some clothes and get your kids in the car and get here today. Maybe you really do want this resurrected power kind of life, but you just feel so dry. Sisters, the Holy Spirit is our answer. Like the wind that came from heaven and filled the whole house, the Holy Spirit fills all our empty, broken places, and he breathes life into them. Do you have empty, broken places that desperately need God to breathe life into? I sure do. The Holy Spirit revives us. Well, after the Holy Spirit revives us, he refines us. Pentecost is often referred to as the baptism of the Holy Spirit. So before we look at that, I want you guys to remember Jesus' baptism. Okay, well, John the Baptist, if y'all remember, he had the great honor of getting to baptize Jesus. And if you recall, the Holy Spirit came down upon Jesus in the form of a dove. So a dove is a biblical picture of peace and purity and perfection. Well, the Holy Spirit did not come upon the apostles and the other ones waiting in the form of a dove. Let's look at Acts 2 again in verse 3. It says, they saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. Y'all hear that? The Holy Spirit at Pentecost was given as fire. So why did Jesus get the Holy Spirit as a dove and the apostles and those others waiting got the Holy Spirit as fire? Well, fire in the Bible is often used to symbolize God's holy presence. Fire breaks things down, and fire burns things up. It leaves nothing in its path untouched. What a perfect illustration of what the Holy Spirit does in our lives. He breaks us down, and he burns off anything that doesn't look like Christ. He leaves no part of us untouched. He refines us. Now, Jesus was perfect. He didn't need any refining. But girls, we sure do. So I told y'all, when I was a junior in high school, I accepted Christ at Young Life Camp. And I really did want to live my life for him, but I had no idea what that looked like. I was still a punk high schooler that made bad decisions and had a potty mouth. The only thing at that time that was different about me was my eternity. So a few weeks after I got back from Young Life Camp, I got invited to go to this teen community Bible study. And I asked my little sister, Riley, to go with me. And so we go, and I'm sure it was fine. I don't really remember. And we're leaving there, and I'm driving, and Riley's in the passenger seat. And we're going down the main road in Littleton, Colorado. And all of a sudden, out of nowhere, this van comes, and it has tinted windows, and it cuts us off. Well, I may have struggled a little bit with road rage. And I'm like, oh, that van. All right, so I'm like, okay, I really want to do this Jesus thing. Okay, but so I keep going. And then what seems out of nowhere, the van comes again and cuts me off. And now I'm getting fired up. And I go again, and the van cuts me off again. I'm like, you. Okay, and all these explicitives are coming out of my mouth. And my little sister is even more fiery than I am. So she's like, yeah, like that van, van. And I'm like, yeah, okay. And then we're about to turn and we look over and there is no van, okay? And so I turn left and all of a sudden out of nowhere, the van comes again and cuts us off. I'm like, enough is enough. And so I zoom up next to this van, and I roll down my window, and I flick them the bird, and I scream, F you. Zoom. It was the teen community Bible study leader and his family. Are you kidding me? Like, God took a hold of my tongue that day. I don't think I've said a bad word since then. Praise God. Whew. Oh, man. They were just messing with me. That is not funny. Okay? Ladies, don't mess with people on the road. Okay. But this is the part of the Holy Spirit that I, like, love, hate. Like, I love that he refines us. That God wants us to look like Jesus. Jesus says that the Holy Spirit will convict the world of sin and that he will guide us in all truth. That's the truth about who God is and who we are apart from him. That God loves us so much that he would sanctify us through the presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives. But let's be real, y'all. I hate being refined. As the things of this world get burned off of us, it hurts. A forest has to be completely burned down every certain amount of years so that a new, more abundant forest can grow in its place. In order to harvest a new forest, what is left of the old must be burnt up. So little by little, as I have learned to walk with Jesus, the Holy Spirit has made me really aware of all the things in me that do not look like Christ. The things of this world that I let define me more than I allow my Savior to. The things that hold me captive. The things that prevent me from living the abundant life that God has for me. To refine us, the Holy Spirit convicts us of our sin. He makes all the yucky, dark places in us come into the light so that we can be healed and transformed. Well, the Holy Spirit used college to refine me of wanting to find life in the world and in the opinion of others. He used and is using marriage to refine me of my anger and control issues and my deep desire to want to please my family. He uses motherhood every day to refine me of my selfishness and impatience. He used cancer to refine me of my vanity and finding my worth in my outward appearance. He used infertility to refine me of wanting a baby more than I wanted him. And he uses community on a daily to refine me of me, to die to myself and to live for Christ. I could go on and on about how the Holy Spirit refines me. This refinement is called sanctification, and it's not easy. It is hard to get stripped of the things that we hold closer than Christ. And I get that completely. I want you to think about those things in your life. How has the Holy Spirit refined you? And honestly, what still needs refining? Now, hindsight is 20/20. I can clearly look back and see how I was refined and how good it is and how glad I am that God did that to me and for me. But in the middle of being refined, I had no idea what God was up to and why I felt so broken. So maybe that's you today. Maybe you are in the middle of being refined, and it's hard, and you feel broken. Hang on, sister. The fire purifies us, and it produces gold. Hang on. Keep trusting that God knows exactly what he is doing, and that he loves you more than you can imagine. He loves you so much that he wants you to look like Christ. He wants you to have an abundant life, not just a dry, empty life. The Holy Spirit is at work in you. Praise God for that. So the things that we lose, the things that are stripped away from us are painful, but it is worth the sacrifice. The Bible says that work called to consider it all a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Jesus. Let's look at those things in our lives, those things that don't look like Christ, and let's boldly say, burn it up. as Peter called out on Pentecost, repent. Turn away from the things of this world and turn towards Christ. Let's boldly pray for the Holy Spirit to refine us. But I love, as the Holy Spirit refines us, that he redefines us. He doesn't just leave us in our brokenness. As he guides us in the truth of who we are, he doesn't just say, oh, you're a sinner, you suck, I hope you figure it out. Right? Jesus says that the Holy Spirit is our counselor. He helps us work through all the baggage that we bring in from our life before Christ. And then he graciously and patiently and boldly teaches us our new identity in Christ. On Pentecost, the Holy Spirit redefined who those 120 people were and what their purpose in life was. He changed the trajectory of their lives. We see this so clearly in Peter. Do you guys remember who Peter was in Jesus' lifetime? He was a fisherman. So he was most likely gruff and unkempt and poor and used vile language. Maybe similar to myself. We would have been friends, okay? And Peter, we see this, he was super impulsive. In good ways and in bad ways. He and his brother Andrew were the first to be called as disciples by Jesus. And I love it, if you guys remember, Andrew and Peter, they drop everything and they follow Christ right away, without hesitation. Man, that Peter is awesome. Okay, but that impetuous Peter is the same one that, if y'all remember, Jesus starts walking on the water in the middle of the storm. And Peter is like, Jesus, is that you? Like, let me come walk to you. And everyone else is hanging out in the boat. And so Peter steps out on the water and he's focusing on Jesus. And then all of a sudden he notices that there's a huge storm raging around. And he takes his eyes off of Jesus, puts it on the storm, and he sinks. Peter, okay, great on enthusiasm, not great on follow through. Think about the Last Supper. Jesus says, oh, one of you is going to deny me 3 times. And Peter's like, I will never do that. No way. I love you. I'm your guy. I will never deny you. Well, Peter couldn't even stand up to a little girl who asked him if he was a follower of Christ. That's Peter. Okay. He was all about Jesus until things got hard. However, in Acts 2, we see a bold, passionate, fearless Peter who leads the church. A man that was the first to stand up on Pentecost and preach to the crowd. He uses 3 different Old Testament passages to draw in the hearts of the Jews. He allows the truth to convict them, and without reservation and with complete clarity, he shares the gospel. And he calls them to repentance. He didn't just confess knowing Jesus that day. He proclaimed him. And 3,000 people came to a saving faith that day. Peter, without the Holy Spirit, looks really different than Peter with the Holy Spirit. Peter went from being a lowly fisherman to a bold, passionate fisher of men. The Holy Spirit redefined him. I think that the Holy Spirit's anthem in our lives is, you are new. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, they are a new creation. The old is gone and the new has come. The moment you trusted in Christ, you were made a new creation. No longer an orphan, you are a child of God. No longer broken, you're whole. No longer condemned, you're forgiven. No longer lost, you're found. No longer a victim, but a victor. And no longer a slave, but free. See, the Holy Spirit, he indwells in us and he helps us walk in this new life. He redefines us and teaches us who we are because of whose we are. Has your life been redefined because of the Holy Spirit in you? Do you and your plans and your desires and your dreams look different than they did before you trusted in Christ? Because they should. As the Holy Spirit works in you and refines you, allow him to redefine you. And then courageously walk the path that he has marked out for you. Y'all, the Spirit is at work. He was at work then, and he is at work now. He is at work in us, and he is at work through us. See, after he revives us, and he refines us, and he redefines us, then he makes us part of God's rescue plan. See, there are two huge climaxes in Acts 2. One being the giving of the Holy Spirit, and two being the birth of the church. Happy birthday, church. These two events, giving of the Holy Spirit and birth of the church, they go hand in hand. You can't separate them. See, the first church, it was legit. So I want us to read in Acts 2 what that first church looked like. So in Acts 2, we're going to start reading in verse 42 and go to 47. It says, they, the first church, devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had in need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. See, these believers, this first church, they got it. They got that their entire purpose in life was to know God and to make him known. That is our purpose, to know God and to make him known. The only way that we are able to fulfill that purpose is through the power of the Holy Spirit. The ministry of the Holy Spirit in our lives is not a luxury. It's an absolute necessity. The first church teaches us about a daily dependence and discipline. That loving God and loving others wasn't just a one day a week calling. It's an all-encompassing, life-changing calling. See, the church isn't a building, it's a family. The Holy Spirit changes our world, and then he uses us to change the world. The more we look like Christ, the more we can love like Christ. The more we surrender, the more he can use it for his glory. The more we grasp Christ's sacrifice, the more we will want to sacrifice for others to know him. The more we learn his word, the more we can apply it to our lives and share it with others. Who cares about speaking in tongues? Speak in your tongue. Speak in the tongue that God has given you to shout his praises and to tell other people about him. If we get Pentecost, our hearts will be inflamed with passion for every person to come to know Jesus. See, Pentecost showed the world that the gospel is for everyone. Acts 2:21. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. This was radical then. This is radical now. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. The gospel is for everyone. But the same power that was given to the first church is offered to each of us today. If you guys remember in the Gospels, Jesus said that we would do even greater works than he did. Hear that. God has greater works for you than he did for Jesus. That's what we can do with the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. If you have accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior, you have the Holy Spirit living in you. You were sealed the day that you trusted Christ. Now you have to let the Holy Spirit live through you. What's better than having Jesus right next to you? Having the Holy Spirit in you. Pray daily that he would revive you, that he would refine you, that he would redefine you, and then that he would use you to be part of God's rescue plan. May Christ's radical love spread like wildfire through you. God, light the fire in me. Light the fire in us. The Holy Spirit does this great work in us, and then he does this great work through us. Perhaps today, you need to let the Holy Spirit revive you. Maybe you need to trust in Christ, to lay down your life, to trust that his life was sufficient. Let him breathe life into you. Maybe you need some refining. Girls Regen is a great place to start that process. Do not be afraid. God has bigger plans for your life than you can possibly imagine. And then as you embrace the new redefined Holy Spirit indwelled in you, let the Spirit use you as part of God's rescue plan. Start in your Jerusalem. By the power of the Holy Spirit, if you are married, love your husband and your kids and your grandkids with the crazy love that Christ has loved you with. And if you are single, invest in your community. Make disciples. Singleness is not a punishment. It's a gift to make Jesus more famous. Ladies, study God's word so that it would fill your mind and your heart, and let it transform you, and then share it with others. The Holy Spirit will guide you in that truth. Then set your eyes on Samaria and Judea, on Plano, on Dallas, on the rest of the United States of America, and then to the ends of the earth. Pentecost, it was a game changer. Sweet friends, let's get in the game. Let's let the Holy Spirit change our world, and then let's let him use us to change the world. Let me pray. Oh, precious Jesus, thank you. Thank you for this day. Thank you for these women, and thank you for your Spirit. God, I pray that you would do a great work in each of us. I pray that your truth would pierce our hearts, that it would convict us, and that it would draw us so much closer to you. Lord, I pray for revival. Lord, within our city, in our country, in our world, God, that so many people would come to know you. And I pray that we would love like the first church loved. So God, bless this small group time and be with these women. We love you. Amen.